Yeah, so we are going to talk about Mary and Martha tonight. It's the last in our series of women that we have been looking at throughout Scripture. And I'm going to start with a little story, so bear with me. Jackie, I think you've heard this, but it can't hurt to hear it again. So bear with me because I'm going to take you right into the scene of something. The scene is set. I can see it now. The lights have been hung. The decorations have been strategically placed. The snowman plates with the matching napkins, cups, silverware has all been purchased. And did I mention the matching dessert plate? Oh, I love it. The snow is falling, just enough to make things clean and white, but not enough to hinder travel. Perfect. The invitations have gone out. People are coming. They should start arriving around 8, just after service ends. Christmas Eve, one of my absolute favorite days of the year. Such excitement, such anticipations. Tuck, tuck. Mommy. Tuck, tuck. Mommy, are they here yet? Huh? What? Who? The people are coming. Are they here yet? Oh, no. They won't be here till later. Well, when, Mommy? How long till they get here? It'll be about 6 hours. Go play. I have a lot to do. Okay, where did I put my list? And hey, don't touch anything. I've already got that room clean and ready. Let's see. I have to roll the meatballs, get them in the crock pot, slice the cheese. I just love how it looks with the crackers on that snowman platter. Speaking of platters, I have to find my crystal ones to make the cookie trays. Okay, where was I? Yes, grind the coffee, regular and decaf. I still have to clean the toilets, wipe down the sinks and mirrors, and vacuum up the dog hair. The dog hair. But I did make the chicken wing dip yesterday. All I have to do is put that in the oven. It's delay start, and it will be piping hot when we get home from church. Church. Christmas Eve service. There's 2 hours I could have used to finish getting ready for tonight. Several hours later, several grumpy hours later, I might add, worship begins. And not with the traditional Christmas carols of Joy to the World and Go Come Let Us Adore Him and all of that. No, it started like this. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Your grace still amazes me. I'll always remember it was your blood that set me free. Your grace still amazes me. You traded glory for the manger to redeem a dying world. You made friends with this sinner so that I could be restored. Your grace still amazes me. Oh, it was your blood that set me free. Does your grace still amaze me? Ouch, Lord, please forgive me. I had allowed myself to get distracted. I had taken my eyes off of what was needful, and that was spending time at my Savior's feet. And I was feeling that finger being pointed right at me. It was a song I had never heard before, but boy, it pricked me, right? It cut right to my, right? And this is a true story. I remember it to this day. Pastor John from Finger Lakes spoke that evening. Uni and her husband Tom led worship along with Pastor John. And like I said, I was cut to the heart as my Lord said to me those familiar words. Karen, Karen. We know them as Martha, Martha. You're cumbered about or busy with many things, but one thing is needful. You've lost sight of that one thing, and that's spending time with me. Learning of me, sitting at my feet, Wow. Like I said, ouch. You know, that was, it was a painful but much needed prick from the Lord in my life. And I will admit, Christmas Eve is one of my favorite days. And I still do this to this day as I get ready. I love the matching plates and the silverware, the napkins, everything. I do it all. But I have to remember when I'm doing it, why I'm doing it, because it's for my Lord and Savior, right? But that particular time, I had completely gotten my eyes off of it, and it was all about the party, all about the people coming, and nothing about Jesus. And it had even come to the point where, what? 2 hours of service, I could have used that time, you know, rather than wanting to be with him. And what are we celebrating at Christmas? We're celebrating his birth, you know. And so I had completely lost sight. So, I mean, that's a fun story, but like I said, a true story. But I was pricked to the heart. And yes, it was a Martha, Martha moment in my life. So we're going to look at her and Mary as we look at these last two women that we've been studying through this past, I want to say, almost 2 years now, as we've had breaks here and there. But so, like I said, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, and I will be reading from New King James. So, yeah. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." So, it's a passage that most of us are familiar with, probably all too familiar with, but we're going to break it down and look at what some of the specific terms and where and all of this is taking place. So I'm going to look at probably tear it apart verse by verse, almost word by word. So in verse 38 it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village." So here we're looking at, okay, they. Who is they? This is Jesus and his disciples, possibly a larger group of 70 who had just gotten a teaching from Jesus. But we know specifically that Jesus and his disciples are this they, and that they are on the move as a group. And they're entering a certain village. They're on their way to Jerusalem, likely for the Feast of Dedication. And as we look past this, so we have this group, they're moving towards a certain village, and then all of a sudden it turns to, he entered this village. So all of a sudden, he is alone. It's just Jesus now. So they had been moving as a group. He separates from that group, as he often did. A lot of times he separated to go and pray. This time he separated to go because there was something needful here that needed to happen, and he's now gone on to this certain village. And this village is Bethany. In John 11:1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." So we know that because he's coming to their house, that this is the same place. And so they're in Bethany. It's about a 2-mile journey from Jerusalem. And it's on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives where the Beatitudes were given. So this is the village that they're in. And then the verse continues on, and it says, "And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." And so the scripture really doesn't say how this relationship began, but it says a certain woman. There are other mentions of this group of people, John 4:1 says, I must needs go this way and all of this, but God knows where he needs to be when. He knew that this certain woman needed something from him. They are friends. They've gathered together as a group before. But Martha, she's, again, part of that trio, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that Jesus considers friends, welcomes him into her house. And when she receives him into her home, she's showing hospitality, which we know is a gift that's listed in several places in Scripture, the gift of hospitality. Romans 12 says it's in a list of gifts and character traits that we should desire, along being a living sacrifice. In the second half of verse 13 of Romans 12, it says we should be given to hospitality. So it's something that we are almost expected to be doing. We should be given to it. 1 Timothy 3 lists hospitality actually as a requirement for leaders and deacons. Believe it or not, sometimes we think when we think of hospitality, we think of it being for women. Mm-hmm. You know, the women are going to be entertaining in the home. It's their responsibility for gathering. Well, guess what? Almost 90% of the guests who come into our home are at my husband's invitation. He loves having people come in and sitting with them and just wanting them to share their lives, but bringing them into our house. And so I get the house ready and meal ready, whatever, you know, dessert, whatever we're having with the people. But we're to be given to that. Just opening our home. Sue and Steve, wow, have they been doing that for us on women's study Wednesday nights, and, you know, opening the fires and always having a treat, you know, water for me, you know. They'll go out of their way to, you know, have Coke or Pepsi or something for me, you know. And but just wanting to bless those who come into your home, make it feel cozy and inviting. And so that's what Martha was about here. She was preparing her house because she had this guest of honor coming into her home, Jesus himself. Verse 39, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So, sisters, we know those relationships. If we have a sister, they can be at times what I would call frenemies we have in our home. But, you know, our boys. They can be best of friends sometimes, and then they can be enemies at other times, you know, fighting over some of the silliest things. But Mary here is Martha's sibling, and sometimes we know it can be full of rivalry, sibling rivalry, and we see that mustered up a little bit here. It says, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. So here we see the word also. So I don't think that Mary didn't serve. I think she was also serving, but along with serving, she also sat at Jesus' feet. I think there was a little of both perhaps happening there. But she had decided that, wow, Jesus is here. I'm going to spend time with him. And so she had stopped the serving portion and had decided it was time. He was here. She was going to spend as much time possible with him. And so not only was she in earshot, you know, she wasn't in the kitchen still dicing the cucumbers. She was actually sat at his feet. That means we are, she had taken an action. She had made a choice. She had positioned herself to hear from Jesus. She sat in his presence. And it was, it's interesting what the word sat means. It means to dwell. So she knew where she needed to be, dwelling with Jesus. And we know that after Jesus left, we become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, right? We are God's dwelling. But she, while he was with her, wanted to dwell with him. So she was at his feet. It can also mean to have one's abode or home with, to abide, to remain, to linger with. Mary purposely chooses to stick with Jesus here. Again, it's a choice. And where does she position herself? At his feet. And that's a place of humility. We must not let any area of pride enter in, or we run the risk of thinking too highly of ourselves, more highly of ourselves than we ought to. That's in Romans 12:3. But again, the feet are a position of a lowly place, and so she puts herself up, obviously, below Jesus, sitting at his feet. And it says that she sat at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. Heard, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Sometimes we hear, you know, there's noise going on, right? You know, that's, I'm hearing that, but we're not really hearing it. Heard here is considering what's being said and gaining understanding. So she is meditating on what Jesus is saying here. It's important to her. She's becoming informed, and she's increasing in knowledge of Jesus here. And it can be from use and practice. And we know James 1:22 says not only to be hearers, but to be doers. So she's going to hear, and then she's going to put into practice. And we see that in other areas of Scripture in Mary's life, that she's a doer also. Hearing, we can gain wisdom from hearing. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus asked us to come and learn from him. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So he invites us to come to him and learn from him. And we will find the rest that we desire, the peace that we desire. He's come in this life. There's so much that can steal or rob our peace, can steal or rob our joy. You know, I mentioned a couple things just getting here this evening, you know, that threaten to take that peace. But we know where to come and sit to find that peace, or to regain that peace if it's gone, that rest. And so what did she come to hear? She came to hear his word. And so his, of course, is Jesus's word. We must be careful. There's a warning here. We must be careful where we're sitting and who we're listening to. Mary had it right, because she sat at Jesus' feet. She wanted to hear his word and be informed from him, so she positioned herself in the correct place to be. We need to position ourselves in God's word in order to be learning. Psalm 1 is verse 1 is a great verse to go to when we're talking about where do we position ourselves and what can we be learning from where we position ourselves. So Psalm 1 verse 1, and again, notice the posturing here, says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So here you have somebody who's just walking. I'm just coming alongside, taking a little stroll, right, with the ungodly. And then look what starts to happen. Nor stands in the path of sinners. All of a sudden, now not only are we just kind of brushing by and moving on, now we're standing, right? The position is a little more solid here now. We've stopped. And when you're in a standing position, you're not moving. Guess what? You can hear a whole lot more. When you're on the go, you're running, it's just fleeting. It might be in and out, but when you are standing, you're not moving, you're going to be hearing a lot more. So if you're in that path of sinners and you're motionless, guess what? You're going to be a little more bombarded by that. But then look at what happens. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The position is now, not only am I standing here, but now I'm taking a seat with you. And it's almost, what do we do when we're fellowshipping? We're sitting with somebody, we're sharing, we're, you know, considering what one another's doing. Well, if you're sitting with sinners, with the scornful, for an extended period of time, guess what? You're hashing out, you're talking about all this stuff, and you might be picking up that stuff yourself. I have an interesting thing that has happened just in the past day or so, and it kind of goes along with that. One of my children has been caught listening to some music that is not the best music for them to be listening to. So I questioned him a little bit about where have you heard this music? You know, this isn't coming from our house. Well, he had positioned himself with somebody who was listening to some music that wasn't the best thing. And so I said to him, well, those words that are in these songs, they're not the best things. Do you know why there's some music that we shouldn't be listening to? And so he sat there for a little bit, and he goes, I think maybe then I might think it's okay to say that stuff. And I go, you know, and when we're positioning ourselves there and we're hearing it, we become, desensitized to it. And then all of a sudden, they say it, so I can say it, or, you know, so, and we have been finding some things coming out of this one's mouth that aren't the best choice of words to be saying, and I think some of it might be because he was listening to some music, and because he had positioned himself with somebody who had been listening to some stuff that wasn't the best things, and so now those words are floating through his head, and guess what? They come out of his mouth and through the ear and out the mouth, right? Yep. So it's important where we position ourselves, who we're, what words we're listening to. It's important. So, who are we walking with? Who are we standing with? Who are we sitting with? Mary had decided to sit at Jesus' feet. So, again, in there, standing, perhaps we might be agreeing with standing, sitting, you know, we're remaining, we're lingering, but all of a sudden we're sitting and we become part of that. And it's hard to stop, or those things once they're in there. So we have to be careful. But moving on to verse 40, after we see that where Mary has positioned herself, we see Martha now come back into the picture here. And it says, but. So here's opposite here, right? But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. So, but such a small word, but a big implication, right? Jesus here is leading a Bible study tonight right in the living room, and Mary is intently listening, but Martha's missing out, right? She is distracted, it says here. This word is, she's drawn away. She's overoccupied, she's too busy, she's cumbered about, or she's driven about mentally. How many times do we get distracted just by our thoughts?
Yeah.
She was distracted here because she was busy with her hands doing, but I know there's many times that I am distracted because of my mind and everything that's going on, and I forget where I should be positioned, right? And I allow those stories to circle and circle, and the what if, and the this and the that, and well, he said or she said, and all of this, and well, instead of 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Those arguments, those stories that go round and round, it says, casting them down, you know. Lord, this isn't true, right? This hasn't even happened. Yet, I'm allowing this argument to run here and there in my mind, and all of the possible outcomes, and I bet they're thinking this or that, and what is it doing? It's exalting itself. It's putting itself above the truth, right? It's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. And what does it say here? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so I know for myself, there are times that I have to say, I catch myself in these things and I have to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going there. Help me to take these thoughts captive, because it's not doing me any good. And if anything, it's drawing me from you. It's keeping me from trusting you. It's keeping me from perhaps a healthy relationship with somebody. It's got me angry with somebody over a situation that perhaps might not even be true, right? Might not even be real. Yet I've got it all played out in my mind that this person is mad at me and this person, you know, whatever. And it's not even true. I'm sorry. I have to find a tissue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is anyone cold?
The fire's going down.
Sorry about that. So distractions. Our mind often a place of distraction, but we can come to the Lord, and He is very faithful when we say, Lord, just help us to take these thoughts captive. So we see Martha distracted here. And what is she distracted with? She's distracted with serving. So I'm going to tell you right now, serving is not a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing. Serving, it can be in ministry, it can be in our homes, it can be in our jobs, it can be wherever. With preparations, there's so much that needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. Well, here Martha's right. Going to do it, right? Well, guess what? That needs to be done at church. I'm going to do it, right? Nobody else is doing it. I'm going to do it. So we can get busy about getting things done. And that's what Martha's doing here. And again, don't get me wrong. Serving is not a bad thing. But when it distracts us from the right thing or the purpose, right? When our motive becomes, let me just get it done, right? Instead of, Lord, I'm serving you in this, you know. It's, and look at what happens, because she's allowed it to become all about the let's just get this done, right? She approaches Jesus, right? And what does approaching mean? To come near. Nothing wrong either with drawing near to Jesus, right? We should be drawing near to Him. But in fact, with drawing near, it's that right after Jesus displayed one of the greatest acts of service, washing His disciples' feet, He tells us to follow His example. In John 13:15, it says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So He's telling us, serve. I'm a servant. Follow my example. So, again, nothing's wrong with serving. Don't get me wrong here. In Matthew 11, Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full and full assurance of faith." So He wants us to draw near to Him. Martha does draw near to Him. And James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." So she's partially correct in what she's done, what she's doing here. She's serving, she's busy, but she's doing it with the wrong motive. And she draws near to Jesus for the wrong reason, okay? She says, Lord, and this Lord here is not God, okay? This is not, Lord, she said, which is master or sir. the meaning of this if you look it up in the concordance. So she's lost sight of who she's serving here because she's just saying, sir, don't you care? Doesn't it matter or mean anything? Is it nothing to you? And we see this question asked of Jesus before. Okay, this isn't the first time we see this. In Mark chapter 4, verse 37, it says, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, same thing here. Teacher, when she says Lord here, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're dying here, right? She comes to him. She's all busy. She's, you know, chopped all the vegetables. She's got the meat ready. She's done everything. And she's saying, sir, don't you care that I've done all this and that my sister's just there listening to you, right? And what does he do at that point? He calms the storm for the disciples, but then he asks, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Basically, he says to them, don't you know who I am? Haven't you learned this about me yet? Right? Who am I? I'm creator of heaven and earth. I created this sea. I can calm this sea. And he's going to come and he's going to give Martha kind of a similar answer, right? She says, don't you care that I am serving alone, that I am preparing this table all by myself? Me, right? Help, you know, lend a hand. Do your part in making her do her part. And she's striving. She's murmuring here. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining or murmuring, grumbling, and disputing. And in 1 Peter 4:9 it says, to use hospitality one to another without grudging. So when we're being hospitable, don't be grudging about it. Here, if you've decided to invite him, who welcomed him into her home? She did. And now all of a sudden she's saying, who's helping me here? You know? And so, don't be grudging. I think that's a little bit about what's going on here, right? And so, and then we look on in verse 41. So, here we get Jesus' answer, right? And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. So, Jesus, the Lord here, capital L, the King of Kings, the lover of her soul, the one who can give her rest, because what's happening here, she is weary. She is cumbered about. She has no rest or peace right now in this. What does he do? He answers her. He addresses her concern, just like he did the disciples in the boat. When he said to them, how is it that you have no faith? Don't you know who I am? He addresses her concern. He answers her. He says, you're worried, Martha. You're anxious, you're caring, you're fretting about this. He's not concerned about the meal she's about to put on the table. He's concerned about the meal that he's about to feed them. That's where his concern is. He says, you're worried, you're fretting about this, you're troubled. He says, not only are you worried, but you're troubled, you're upset. This is bothering you, and it shouldn't be, right? About many things. And listed in these many things, the definition of this here, you're troubled about the wrong things, he tells her. Again, she has Jesus teaching a Bible study in her living room, and she's missing out because she's fretting about the wrong things. Is he going to be pleased if she just set a bowl of chips in front of him? Do you think he's going to be happy with that? I'm sure he would, you know. The meal that she's putting before him isn't his concern. He goes on to say, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So he says, one thing, the right thing. So he told Martha, you're concerned about many things, which were the wrong things. But now he says, Mary has chosen one thing, the needful thing, the right thing, And the needed here is the necessary thing. She's chosen what's necessary. It wasn't, is the house dusted? Is the carpet vacuumed? You know, did you get that last speck of dog hair out of the corner? Right. You know, that Christmas Eve, I was troubled about many things, about the wrong things. I wasn't thinking about what was needed. I wasn't thinking about the important thing, the necessary thing, the essential thing. Job 23:12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So, the words of his mouth. He's the bread of life, right? What he nourishes us with is more important than what we put in our bellies. And so, Job had the right... the right picture here, that he esteemed or considered the words of his mouth more important than the food even that he ate. Kay Smith tells us in her book, The Privilege, not to neglect God's word, because when we neglect God's word, we neglect time with him, we lose sight of what's essential, what the important thing is. And we can get sidetracked by many things, the wrong things. And so we have to be careful. And so it says that she, that one thing was needed, and Mary has chosen. And so again, it was a choice she made, a choice that Martha was making, a choice that Mary was making. Mary chose. She purposed in her heart to sit with him. I'm not going to say it's easy to choose him every time, because there's many things that need to get done, right? But we can't neglect that part. And it's a choice we make. We have to purpose to spend time with him, because it becomes easier and easier every time we choose not to spend time with him, to not spend time with him. It becomes easier and easier. And before long, you're going, wow, how did I get here? You know, a day becomes two. 2 days becomes a week becomes weeks becomes month, and all of a sudden you're going, whoa, what is going on here? You know, and we completely lose sight of that needed thing, that good part. Mary chose that good part, and the words good part here are the better or right choice, the portion or the right option. Again, service and hospitality are good choices. They bless the heart of God. But sometimes we have to choose between what is good and what is best. All the things we can do for the Lord don't compare with being in his presence. So we need to make sure that we're in his presence, because we all day long we can be saying, Lord, I did this for you. I did this for you. And what do we see in Matthew with the sheep and the goats? The goats say, what do you mean? You know, he says of the sheep, they did to the least of these my brethren, right? They gave a drink, they clothed, they fed, they did all this. But they did it in Jesus' name. The goats, however, say, wait a minute, when did we see you like this, right? And didn't do any of that, but they said, Lord, Lord, right? But they were positioned in the wrong place. So, but Mary has chosen that good part, that better part. And what did he say? And it will not be taken from her. Jesus and his word cannot be taken from us. Where is it? It's hidden in our hearts, right? And these persecuted countries, you've got pastors and Christians in jail. Their Bibles or portions, sometimes they have just a portion of God's word. It's been taken from them. Yet we see incredible stands that they take. And why is that? Because it's in their heart, right? It can't be taken from them. They can take this from us. They can take take it all from us, but they can't take him out of our heart, right? And so Mary was putting that in, right? And that would not ever be taken. Jesus said, that is not going to be taken from her. She's chosen the right thing. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It can't be taken, right? Ecclesiastes 5:15, he has come forth from his mother's womb naked, and naked he shall return. Guess what? We brought nothing into this world. We will surely take nothing out of it, except Jesus is with us, right? That one thing cannot be taken. And Mary purposed, she chose that better part. So there's several things I believe that we can take away from these scriptures here as we look at Mary and Martha. And it's not to bash Martha, because again, serving is, again, a needful thing. It's just, where are we positioning ourselves? What is our motive for what we're doing? It's important not to leave Jesus out of that, right? My little fun story there at the beginning, no, true, as it was. I had left Jesus out of that. I was getting snippy with everybody, you know. My kids were excited as I was, right? And I was telling them to get lost, you know. And I'm serving. Can't you see? I'm getting ready for Jesus' birthday, right? And yeah, good example there, Mom, right? So, but what is it all about? I think we can all find ourselves there. So again, as we look at things that we can take away from this section of scripture and Mary and Martha, first off, service. It's good. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's required to be like Jesus. Our service, however, should be an act of worship to the Lord, not a drudgery. You know, oh boy, I got to go to church and, you know, put the garbage up. I got to go clean the toilet. You know, whatever.
Right.
I'm in the nursery again. You know, whatever our service may be. It should be an act of worship. Lord, I get to clean the toilets again, you know. I get to serve in the nursery. I get whatever we're doing, you know. And it may not be at church. It might be at home. I get to go serve with mom, right? I get to go, or mother-in-law, or whoever we're doing. I'm serving my husband. Right. You know, whatever service, I'm taking my grandson to the doctor because my daughter can't do it. Is it an act of worship? Lord, I'm doing it for you. Not, Lord, can't you see that I could use this hour to get my laundry done?
Right.
You know, there's a difference there. Yeah. I'll do this, but, or, Lord, I get to do this. So, act of worship instead of drudgery. And again, service is good. He tells us to be like him, to follow his example, and he was the servant of servants. The second thing, what is essential? Time with Jesus. Okay, we can't think we're going to be like him. We can't think we're going to serve him or choose that better part if we don't spend time with him. It's essential that we spend time with him. Because Acts 17:28 says, in him we live, move, and have our being. If we don't know him, if we don't know what he wants us to be about, what business he wants us to be doing, how can we be doing it, right? We can't be if we're not spending time with him. And because his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, where? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature. So, in his word, that 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, he has given all things to us that pertain to life and godliness. If we want to know how to live this life and how to be godly in this life, and not to serve with drudgery and all of that. We got to be spending time with Him. It's essential. We have to. We have to choose that. We have to purpose to spend time with Him. And what does it say? That can't be taken from us, right? We can't be like Him if we don't sit with Him. Think back to Psalm 1:1. Who are we sitting with? Who are we positioning ourselves near? Taking another look at Mary and Martha. Martha had decided to position herself in the kitchen. And what do we see? Her coming to Jesus and saying, "Don't you care that I'm here doing this all by myself?" And we see Mary, who had decided to position herself at Jesus' feet. And what does Jesus say of her? That's not going to be taken from her. The third thing, and it's very similar, neglect. I think we can't neglect the Word of God. It's a privilege to be in His presence. No fast food or drive-throughs with Jesus. We must park and even use our emergency brake, right? And to spend time with Him so that we can't be moved, right? Because what happens when we don't park ourselves at His feet? We're easily moved. When our emergency brake isn't working and I'm sitting on a hill, guess what? My car can roll off. But if my emergency brake is good, guess what? I'm stuck in that position. It's not going to be moved. We're easily moved when we're not positioned with Him, moved by the world and things. Fourth, there's a choice that can be made. Where do we sit or linger? And who will I learn from because of where I sit and linger? And who or what will I become a servant of? Will I become a servant of the world and chaos and busyness? Or will I become a servant of Jesus? And lastly, being doers. After sitting and hearing, it's a must that we become doers of the word. We can't just hear it, just take it in, take it in, take it in. We are well fed. Right? We get good teaching, but we can't just be taught. We need to apply that to our lives and become doers of the word, James 1:23. So it's important that we position ourselves properly like Mary did. And to remember that that's the needful part, and that it's a choice, and it's good. It's good. We can choose the best thing by choosing Jesus and sitting at His feet. So let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the example of Mary and Martha, Lord, and how they had positioned themselves, Lord, and what it meant for their walks with You, Lord, and how we get a good look at service and spending time with You and what's needful, Lord. And we thank You for that. Thank You for these sisters and what we can learn through their lives. Thank You for Your word. Pray that You would prepare us now as we move on to Esther, Lord, to learn from her life, Lord, and her example to us as well. Thank You for Your word. Pray that we would make the choice to spend time with You this week, Lord, in these next couple weeks before we meet again. And we just praise You and give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.